This is the smell of a warm 3-day-old egg salad sandwich in a wimpy trash bag.
Wimpy, wimpy, wimpy!
Blech! And this is the smell of that same sandwich in a hefty, ultra-strong trash bag with new Fabuloso lemon scent.
Hefty, hefty, hefty!
Smell the difference? When life gives you stinky, get Hefty Ultra Strong with new Fabuloso lemon scent. It smells like clean, freshly picked lemons. So no matter what's inside your trash, you can stop the stink and smell the lemon.
Fed can just print more money out of thin air, but the government's always going to be in debt to the Fed.
You know, they all have this devotion to truth. Everybody has questions that aren't being answered.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of Dangerous World Podcast. Extremely short introduction for you on this episode. I did a fun little episode with Moral Bob of the Hidden in Plain Sight podcast, which, you know, he's doing some really cool stuff. And I encourage you to check out what he's doing wherever you can. I'm going to post his links in the bio. And I encourage you guys, please go and leave him a 5-star review if you listen on Apple. Or if you've got an iPhone, just do it. I mean, this really helps podcasts grow to larger audiences. And this is one of those dudes that's just really fun to talk with. And him and I set out to speak about the secret Vatican archives. And we did do that a little bit, but not as much as I would have liked to. However, we talked about a lot of cool stuff, man. This was one of those kinds of conversations where it just flowed and it flew by. When the conversation ended, it was like, damn, is this done already? Like, you know, I called the time on it. And, you know, it apparently flew by for him as well. So those are, you know, it's always good when the time flies by. Time flies when you're having fun, as they say. So I appreciate Bob hopping on. And I appreciate you guys for listening, man. This was a fun thing to do. I like these looser episodes where it just feels like it's like, dude, let's take a step back and let's just kind of talk about some issues that are on our minds. And, you know, couple like-minded people, of course, you know, him and I go back and forth on a couple of ideas. You know, we don't agree on everything. You know, I don't think any two people should ever agree on any one thing or any multiple things. Nothing. No one should agree on anything. It's what progresses society. So, I appreciate Bob and what he does, man. And, want to point you guys into the direction, if you have not already gone there, to the Patreon that I have. Helps me get a little closer to doing this full time, being able to come out with better content, newer, fresher content, and just stuff that that you're not seeing or hearing anywhere else. Go to the patreon.com/dangerousworldpodcast. That will get you the full versions of all these episodes. And of course, some bonus content, the rants, the exclusive conversations, the first of which we're having January 29th here. This will be the first one that we're doing. Going to do these from now on for the $10 tier subscribers upon other things. We have some other things in the pipeline, monthly episodes that are exclusive, sort of conversational type shows. And then also just, you know, chopping it up between friends, the people that are on the show. So, guys, thank you for your support over on Patreon. Also, dangerousworldstore.com will get you all of your merch. You can get on there. You get free shipping here in the United States, not just the continental, even in Alaska and Hawaii, baby. You know what I mean? You get all your free shipping and very, very discounted rates outside of the United States. We're talking Canada, China. I don't know if China would even take any packages from the U.S. right now. Australia, I mean, the UK, people have ordered packages from these places. The UK shipping is a little longer than I had expected, but it does work. It gets there. It gets to the destination. Prorated stuff, though, so it's going to be much cheaper than most of your companies that you order from the United States. So what we got, the Patreon, we got the store. I do want to plug Manscaped as well. You guys know, if you know me, you know, Manscaped's been sponsoring this podcast for some reason for quite some time now, about 6 months we're approaching. And if you go to manscaped.com, you enter danger, you get 20% off. Okay. I'm tired, dude. This is late. It's fucking way past my bedtime. So I'm confusing the promo code with the discount that you get, which is always a good sign of a good marketer. So thank you, Manscaped, for supporting the podcast here. And yeah, I mean, you can get the Lawnmower 4.0. You can get all that good stuff that you need, dude. They have some soap. They have some deodorant now. They have some freaking really cool shampoo and conditioner. They've got all the good stuff that you need to make your junk and your body as a whole just smell fresh, dude. So really appreciate these companies that stick their necks out and support crazy podcasts that talk about nonsense like Dangerous World Podcast does. And they sponsored a lot of great shows in the past. And I think that they're somehow they're trickling down to my show. And I appreciate that incredibly. So thank you very much, Manscaped. Go over there, manscaped.com. Danger, D-A-N-G-E-R, 20% off and free shipping with all the good stuff that they have, man. The t-shirts are really great. The boxers are phenomenal, phenomenal underwear, the most comfortable underwear I've ever worn. And of course, all their shaving equipment, whether it's your beard, whether it's your junk, whatever it is, they take care of you guys. So thank you, Manscaped. Thank you, listeners. Thank you, Patreon subscribers. First and foremost, I save the best for last when I'm thanking people. Okay. And thank you, Bob, for having this conversation with me, man. This was fun. It was enlightening. I think that it was a fun one. And we'll definitely be talking again. We also, you know, here on January 24th, we recorded a Monday Night Master Debaters. Bob was on this one with Matt from The Great Deception and my former co-host and cousin, Brandon Peacock himself, in the flesh, in the feathers. He was on here and not on this episode, but he was on the Monday Night Master Debaters, which you should listen to immediately after you listen to this conversation with Bob and I, because, you know, this conversation kind of lays down an idea of what Bob kind of stands for. You know, big economic buff, really big into sovereignty as a citizen, as a country, as just a living being. Pretty common sense dude. And then, you know, he goes back and forth with Brandon, who approaches common sense from a different perspective, still common sense, but just more of a left-leaning, more of a statist, if you will. So, you know, really, really interesting conversations that we have anytime Bob is involved. So thank you. This is the last time. I'm not thanking anyone ever again because I feel like I thanked Manscaped like 20 times, I think. And then I thanked Bob like fucking five times. I don't know what I'm doing here. I mean, this is a long intro. I wanted to keep it short. So let's roll right into this episode with Bob, where we set out to talk about the Vatican, but just got into all kinds of fun things, guys. Enjoy the show. And if you head over to Patreon, you will get some more content when it comes to the Vatican and Freemasonry and how these two clash. So thank you for the support. You'll see, you'll just be hearing from me in a couple days. All right. Enjoy the show. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I've spoken with this guy a couple of times on the Monday Night Master Debaters, but I'm really excited to be one-on-one with you, Bob. Of course, this is Moral Bob from Hidden in Plain Sight. It's a great podcast. And man, dude, we talk about a lot of different things constantly. And it seems that you're pretty well-rounded, man. You're ready to, you know, kind of discuss. You're ready to debate. You're not married to any ideas. And I appreciate that because not too many people are like that, even in this community of these independent thinkers. So first of all, man, how are you doing? And I'd like you to get your plugs out right up front here.
Yeah, thanks, man. Thanks for having me. I'm good. It's cold as shit because they're about to freeze Texas again.
Uh-oh.
But, you know, it is what it is. It's not like I didn't know it was coming. So, you know, I'm as prepared as I can be. But I'm Moral Bob. My podcast is... Ryan said is Hidden in Plain Sight. You can find it on all your podcatchers. You can find me on Instagram at at the Moral Bob, and that's about it. I'm allowed on Facebook again finally, but I don't even do anything there because if I say two words, they'll ban me. So it's just, what's the point?
Yeah, you have this habit of punching a little too far up, it seems.
Yeah, they really don't like me, which makes me question when people get really, really big. It's like, how'd you get big? Like, yeah. How'd they allow that shit?
Yeah, it depends what you're doing. You know, if you're antagonizing these guys, I can see. But if you're just minding your own business, dude, I don't know when they step in. That's the interesting thing, you know?
Well, our mutual friend, Matt from The Great Deception, he didn't have a problem at all until he made a single post about the Rona. And then all of a sudden he got shadow banned. Like he has been shadow banned. Yeah, he was posting about Star Forks and Tartaria and Disney and all of this stuff, and they didn't care. As soon as he said something about the Rona, bam, shadow ban.
It's very weird, dude. Yeah, I kind of go all over the place. I've been focusing on my personal Instagram, or not my personal, but the podcast Instagram, mostly like goofy memes and like funny stuff. You know what I mean? Kind of looking like this buffoon on social media so that hopefully no one takes it too seriously. But at a certain point, it's gonna get nuked. I already am planning for it. But you know what? This is what we do it for, man. We're here to go toe to toe with these assholes, and we're talking about someone pretty big right now. You know what I mean? This the topic of the episode here. We wanted to get into the Vatican archives, and there's a lot of shady shit when it comes to the Vatican. First of all, dude, what are you drinking over there? I gotta start it off with a fellow whiskey drinker, fellow drinker in general. I gotta know what you're drinking, man.
It's a Woodford Reserve.
Ooh, that's actually like a mid-shelf whiskey, right?
Yeah. I don't drink very often, and I don't drink to get drunk, so I make sure I buy good stuff.
Okay.
You know, I generally won't spend less than $50 a bottle, and it'll last me a month or two.
Wow.
I generally only will drink if I'm podcasting and I want to, you know, a drink. And group podcasts, I for sure have a couple drinks, but I'm not drinking to get drunk. It's just something to sip on that tastes awesome.
That's why you're moral, dude, because I will drink and just completely get shit-faced. If you gave me a bottle of $50 whiskey, I'm drinking it in the night.
Well, yeah, and I used to be that way. I would do that shit, too, and so I would buy the cheap stuff, but the good cheap stuff. Like, I would drink, like, Maker's Mark.
There you go.
You know, which is, like, decent, cheap whiskey.
It's a level or two above Jack Daniels, for those that don't know, yeah.
Yeah. So,
big fan.
Yeah, I got too old, man. I can't handle hangovers.
How old are you, dude? You don't look old.
43.
Oh, wow. You wear it nicely. I'm 30. Thanks. I feel like I look older than you.
Yeah, I definitely look below my age, but I don't feel below my age. So
it's that boyishly red hair, dude. That's what it is.
Yeah. Wasn't it you that was like, you have an aggressively red beard?
Yeah, dude. No, it's very red. But I mean, hey, dude, it works, man. It works.
Yeah. Part of it is this. Fluorescent light that I've got going on. Like, yeah, it is. Yeah, I was talking to my wife about it, and she was like, dude, it's really red.
Well, that's funny, man. No, you know, and the reason I ask is because I see you sipping out of that coffee cup, and you mentioned before we started talking here that you snagged an IHOP coffee mug, a tiny little mug. Dude, I have this, I don't know if it's a bad habit or if it's just ingenious. I steal cups from every restaurant that I go to. Every restaurant I go to. So I have, awesome. Dude, I have multiple IHOP mugs, and they are tiny.
They're little.
You take a sip out of one of these things and you're halfway done with your coffee. And that's the whole thing. They got the bottomless coffee. But dude, I've got freaking, you name it. I used to have a full collection of BJ's cups. I don't know if you heard of BJ's.
Yeah. We have them here.
Yeah, dude. Just, I mean, every single different graphic. I mean, I'm all about that action, dude. So it's funny.
Is it just kleptomania, or is it to see if you can get away with it, or like, what is the intrigue?
I don't know, man. I think
like a souvenir, little token.
Exactly. I mean, I've taken coffee carafes from IHOP. It is there is something that's just kind of funny, because like usually I'm eating with a female that has a purse. So we'll throw it in the purse. It's actually very easy. I don't recommend anyone do it because it's probably illegal to tell people to do that. But yeah, man, just
well, it's illegal to do it. So.
I don't think so, though. Is it because
it's theft? Yeah, it's theft. I mean, now granted, they buy in such high numbers that you're talking about pennies to them. You know, it's very little on their overhead.
But. Well, and I don't steal from these local mom and pop shops and the gastro pubs. I steal from the chains because I feel like it's cooler to have like a Chili's cup than it is to have right. like a fucking Peg and Sue's pancake house. You know well, what I mean?
Peg and Sue's is probably paying more for their cups too exactly. because they're not buying 10,000 of them.
Exactly. Yeah. So I don't steal from those guys. Okay.
Yeah. Nah. Yeah. I'm okay stealing with the, from the conglomerates. It's fine. I used to have, back when I was a smoker a million years ago, I had an IHOP ashtray back when you could smoke in IHOP.
Nice.
Yeah. That was forever ago, but yeah.
That's probably worth something.
Probably. I don't have it anymore. I threw it away, yeah. you know, over a decade ago when I quit smoking and I threw out all my ashtrays. I was like, fuck it. I don't need them.
That's probably
I was kind of mad at smoking at the time. So I just threw them all away.
Hey, there you go, dude. Got to do what you got to do. No, yeah. I do appreciate you hopping on here, man. So you brought the idea to talk about the Vatican archives.
Yeah.
What draws you to this?
Well, because nothing we're told is true. And a lot of the history that is real history is hidden from us. And it's hidden from us in places like the Vatican and the Smithsonian. Like there's countless stories of, you know, the Smithsonian jumping in when somebody finds a giant bone or something like that. They scoop it up and it just disappears. And I think the Vatican does the same, you know, and they allow certain things. I mean, the Vatican's art archives, just their art archives, is worth like hundreds of millions of dollars. Yeah. Hundreds of millions of dollars. Like it's just crazy how much they have. You know, people think this is this religious organization. It's not. Mm-hmm. Like, it is not. It's a walled city of, you know, tyrannical rulers. That's all it is. It's masquerading as some religious organization.
Well, it got commandeered. I mean, the art of the Sistine Chapel alone, right? I mean, this is something that's insanely valuable. So I don't know. You know, I don't know as much as I would like to know about the Vatican and religion as a whole. This is why it's always so interesting to talk about all aspects of it. But, you know, you mentioned the Smithsonian. Did you hear that the Theodore Roosevelt statue, that iconic statue, is taken down?
Really?
Mm-hmm.
That's all right. Teddy Roosevelt sucked. So
he did. That's what I said when I heard it. You know, he's like talking about like the, you know, Agenda 2030 way back in the day. Like, so, you know, fuck him. It's just shitty.
I mean, we need to stop worshiping these people, you know?
Yeah.
Like, politicians and religious figures should be so unimportant that we don't know their names, you know? Unless you're really, like, as far as religion goes, unless you're, like, a super Catholic, which I don't think anybody should be super religious in any mainstream religion, you're just being tricked. That's it. They're casting a spell on you, and you're being fooled. And you know, some people need it. You know, some people need religion. They need to feel like they're part of something. They need to feel like, you know, there's a reason that they're doing good or whatever. You know, my brother, my little brother's religious. And I asked him, I said, are you religious because you're scared of the punishment or you want the reward? Which one is it? Because it's one of those two things. And he was like, no, man, that's not it. I said, then why can't you just be a good person without religion?
Yeah,
like just be a good person. You don't have to be a Christian or a Catholic or anything to be a good person. I know a lot of really good atheists.
Yeah,
I used to be one. I used to be an atheist, and still I started going down a lot of rabbit holes. And I was like, okay, there's gods and deities and stuff involved in all of this. Like, this shit was created by some powerful beings. And there's, I mean, whether it's a god, I mean, use whatever name you want to use, god, angel, you know, superhero, whatever. There is something greater than us, or at least greater than what we're told we are, that created a lot of this and control a lot of it. And I think that's what the Vatican's hiding is. I think the Vatican's controlled by some of these deities.
Well, that's interesting, man. Let me ask you that then. Where do you find yourself in this whole religious spectrum? You just said clearly that you're not an atheist anymore. Does any religion kind of resonate more so with you than others?
I mean, I like the Bible because I think it's got a lot of historical evidence in it that I'm you know, I'm agnostic when it comes to religion. I'm a polytheist, if you want to do a big umbrella of things.
Oh, really?
I believe there's a pantheon of gods. So I think there's multiple gods and they're at different levels. You know, angels are a level of God. You know, even in the Bible, you know, there's the angels and there's Elohim, which is the shining ones, which are above angels. Like there's different levels of hierarchy in these, you know, God realms. So is there a single God that's more powerful than the rest or deemed more powerful than the rest? Very possibly. Yes. But I don't know. Maybe it's different groups of gods. Maybe they're, you know, the good gods against bad gods or whatever. But I'm not sure. I think there is some very powerful deities behind the scene doing everything, though.
Yeah, dude, that's where I'm at. I'm agnostic myself. But so you're kind of you're saying basically like you believe in the idea that there's this Zeus figure or this Odin figure. And yes. Then there's others underneath it, Aphrodite or Thor or whatever, depending on what.
Every culture you look at basically has crossover gods.
Sure.
So, you know, Zeus in one is like Marduk in another. So there's gods that are by different names due to the culture that called them whatever, but it's the same god.
Yeah.
Like they just called them different things. So
yeah, it's an interesting thing. And then you even see that in the Catholic Church. I mean, they treat these saints like gods, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like lesser gods.
Right. You know, the idea that the Pope has, you know, the ear of God, like that's the most ridiculous thing ever. No, he doesn't. That's so silly. I mean, to get into the Vatican, you know, it was Pope. I had it pulled up earlier. It was a Pope in just like early 1900s that created
one of the pious
bang theories. So it was like in, I want to say the 40s, one of the popes came up with the Big Bang Theory.
Oh, yeah.
It was just in like the 40s. It was recently that the Big Bang Theory was even theorized, and it was a freaking Jesuit priest.
Yeah.
Like, this shit is sketchy, man. It's super sketchy, you know, and the Vatican means like something like dark serpent.
Yes. Yeah.
Something serpent.
Yeah. It's something about, it's just negative.
Yeah. When you look at the Vatican's main chambers, it looks like a serpent's head with fangs by the doors. And there's two big lights that look like snake eyes. And then the roof looks like it's scaled. Like, it's sketchy, dude. Like, is that the reptilians? Like, is that, and is reptilians literal or is it, you know, something that's just figurative because they're very cold blooded? You know, that's a whole nother rabbit hole. But, you know, there's a lot of sketchy shit with the Vatican. The Vatican owns like tons of telescopes and the largest one that they own is the largest one in the world. And it's called Lucifer. Like, why does the Vatican own telescopes?
What? Well, that would be from like a devil's advocate perspective. It's like, you know, they're gatekeepers here. They're trying to communicate. They're trying to see what the other side's talking about, the science side. I'm trying to do a little bit of research on the fly. The first, upon like a quick search, it's Pope Pius the 12th. But I'm gonna double check that because that doesn't sound right at all to me about this guy that came up with the Big Bang Theory.
Right. I had it earlier. There was a says on this day 120 years ago, George Lemaître, father of the Big Bang, was born in Belgium. So I don't know if he was the one that came up with it. Again, I'm a very insanely busy person, not that I want to be, but I didn't have enough time to do, you know, all the research to get dates and names and stuff correctly. I've kind of peripherally done some Vatican research and stuff in the past, but I wanted to get names and dates and I didn't get a chance to. But, you know, these priests are the ones that came up with the Big Bang Theory and the expansion theory, because up until the early 1900s, like around Einstein and stuff, they thought it was a static universe. They thought it was, you know, there, but it was all static. And then this Pope came up with the idea that it's expanding. And if it was expanding, then there had to be something that made it expand. And there's anybody listening, there's no evidence of any of this.
Yeah, of course.
Like this, there's no evidence that the universe is expanding or anything in the supposed space that we're told is expanding. Is it moving? Yes. Is it expanding? There's absolutely zero evidence.
Yeah, dude. And so I did just confirm what you said. So yeah, it says George Lemaitre, father of the Big Bang Theory. Like you said, born in Belgium. He called it the primeval atom.
So, yeah, and I think it was the other Pope that I saw that really kind of brought that theory to fruition. Maybe he was studying previous popes and came across it and was like, ooh, what's this? Let me think about this. And since Einstein was popular at the time and there were some other physicists that were popular at the time, he took that theory and kind of ran with it and made it more popular.
Well, so do you think that the Catholic Church is as powerful as a lot of, you know, people that are getting introduced into conspiracy theories a lot of times tend to think that the Vatican and the Crown are the top of the top?
Yes.
But I tend to think that it's one or the other. I don't think that they're working together. As you know, like my research in the Pilgrim Society, I tend to think that it's leaning more towards the Crown, and the Crown, they're full of Protestants, right? I mean, like the Protestants go very much against what the Catholics believe. And if you look at the presidents that the Catholics have had, one was shot, and then the other one is this buffoon. You know what I mean? Sure. So they're not getting them any, and they're not cutting them any slack.
No, but it could just be controlled, right? Like, so I lean towards the theory that it goes back to like the 13 royal bloodlines, like the descendants of Adam.
Sure.
So
Merovingian.
Yeah. So I think that that's what it could be. And maybe the Crown is what controls everything and see, maybe the Crown only controls things because they're the ones at the top of the heap right now. And there's this internal battle in the bloodlines to be the top of the heap, but they still have an agenda that pushes forward. So they have this underlying agenda that they will always push forward. You know, they're hand in hand moving forward, but somebody wants to be that dude with the baton out front. When you see like a marching freaking band and there's the dude in the front with the baton that leads everybody, well, everybody's fighting to be that guy, but you're still all marching together. You know, so I think there's internal struggles in the bloodlines, but it's still, maybe it is still all controlled by the Crown, because the way it goes is, you know, you have the Freemasons and 33 levels of Freemasonry. Well, that indicates your spine, right? There's 33 vertebrae in your spine. And then once you get to the top, that's the crest. That's where it goes into the head. And the head is where the brain is, and that's what controls things. And that's the Illuminati. You're illuminated when you go beyond the 33rd degree, and you are the head. You're the one that controls everything. But the Crown sits on top of the head, and the Crown just sits there and enjoys the spoils, and they control everything. And if anything gets out of hand, the Crown can step in and be like, nope. That's not how we're doing it. But for the most part, they just sit back and watch it happen, because everybody knows their roles and everybody knows what to do. And the Crown just enjoys the spoils. And so everybody's trying to get to that royalty point to where they're just enjoying the spoils.
It's interesting you say that, man, because like the Crown even sits above the brain, right? I mean, it sits on top of the head. So the Crown would be above the control of the spine. You know, if you're thinking about it like a human body, the brain controls the vertebrae in the spine, and you know, everything splinters out into the fingers and all these other societies that could be attached if you're looking at it from that perspective. You know, dude, I was reading this interesting thing, trying to kind of semi prepare for this, but it was totally irrelevant, but I find it really interesting. I wanted to see your thoughts on this before we really get into some of the things that we think is actually in the Vatican archives. You know, we just had Martin Luther King Day recently, and it's an interesting holiday, and it's an interesting idea, you know, talking about the slavery and just the inequality that was actually, I mean, it's an undeniable part of our history. However,
I don't know. See, I disagree.
Well, slavery.
We'll slip past that because we don't need to go on a tangent about slavery.
Well, I'm down to get into it, man. And I'm interested to hear your thoughts on it. But like my thing with what it is and, you know, where I was trying to get to is here, you know, Martin Luther King is trying to make things equal, supposedly. Right.
Supposedly.
This is the mainstream narrative. Right. If you're going back to the Civil War times and why the Civil War was fought, it clearly was not about slavery. There was nothing at all that had to do with
Abraham. Slavery. Abraham Lincoln didn't even bring up slavery until he was losing and needed to gain popularity and get more people to jump in.
This is what's fascinating. What I read. So you've heard of the Knights of the Golden Circle, I'm sure.
Yes.
So this is like the precursor to the KKK. Okay.
Right.
Now, the South, the Confederates. If you're going off this idea of the crown really running shit, the crown was backing the Confederates, and so was France. I mean, France, you had France appointing leaders in Mexico. They set up French troops in Mexico to help the Confederates. And then the crown they set up shop in Canada, and they were also helping the Confederates. So the Confederates were absolutely winning the war 100% because they had the North, they had above the Union. And they had underneath themselves, and they were trying to set up this little area with Cuba as the hub of the center of this massive area that would control tobacco, coffee, sugar. I mean, all your basic commodities of the time. And like you said, it wasn't until Abraham Lincoln realized like, oh shit, let's set these slaves free if this side wins the war. And then that may ask you like, well, why did Lincoln get shot then? You know, John Wilkes Booth was a pro-slavery Confederate. Well, that's not really the case. The reason that he was shot, that Abraham Lincoln was shot, and I would absolutely bet my bottom dollar on this, it's because he created the greenback. It's because he created this, the first ever fiat currency. And the only two presidents that have really been assassinated the way that you know, we see it as, obviously there's been a few that were assassinated. But the two that come to mind are Kennedy and Lincoln. They both created a fiat currency. They both created an alternative currency. So there's something to be said about that. And I know that that's a little off topic, but it's just very interesting that, you know, with the idea of the Catholics going against the Protestants, there's got to be something in there with the whole Lincoln setting up the alternate currency and just.
Sure, but it's also all allegedly.
Sure.
Right. Like I'm at the point where anything that's mainstream, I don't trust it. So the mainstream narrative about Lincoln, the mainstream narrative about slavery, I don't trust any of that shit. None of it.
What like, I just said was not mainstream at all. You know what I mean?
Well, I mean, as far as John Wilkes Booth killing Lincoln and the Civil War, like Lincoln could be just a created dude. Like that could all be fabricated history. You know, it could all be bullshit. As far as we know, because none of us were there. So none of us can be like, no, I remember. And, you know, this is how it went. You know, we're all playing through the history that we're given. Right. Because, you know, and so all of that history could be complete bullshit. And I think most of it is, you know, because a lot of our founders, a lot of our presidents, we're all members of places like the freaking Pilgrim Society and the Freemasons, and they were all parts of these secret societies. So they could have just been playing their part.
Yeah.
I think there may be, if there is any reality, it could be something to do with currency, because they definitely don't like knowing that currency can just be created.
Yeah.
The government does not like anybody thinking that you can just create your own currency. You know, that's why they attack Bitcoin the way they do. That's why Saddam and Gaddafi got killed, was they wanted to start their own currency and get off the petrodollar. You know, like they don't want people creating their own currency. And if Abraham Lincoln came out and like was successful just creating some fiat currency hundreds of years ago, then, you know, he very well could have started this thing where everybody would have just been like, you know what? It would have been their own version of Bitcoin back then. Somebody would have created their own version of Bitcoin.
Because that's essentially what frankly, it was.
Frankly, Bitcoin and cryptocurrencies are all fiat currencies as well. They're backed by fucking nothing.
Exactly.
You know, so anybody that thinks that cryptocurrency is anything viable, it's a fiat currency as well by the definition of fiat currency.
Yeah.
So they didn't want that to be known. The bankers didn't want that to be known. And so they very quickly after they killed Lincoln, they scuttled together and put together a plan and then instituted it in 1913 at Jekyll Island and created the Federal Reserve so they could create a fiat currency that was centrally controlled. Yeah. It's not the creation of a fiat currency that's bad. It's the central control of that fiat currency. And that's Definitely. What makes cryptocurrency not the same. It's a fiat, but it's not the same as a centrally controlled fiat, at least so they say. I think cryptocurrency is a honeypot.
yeah.
But again, we could do a whole podcast on how I think cryptocurrency is a fucking scam.
I was going to say, dude, we need to probably do an episode on just money. You know what I mean? Like, it sounds dude, like I'd we love, could go back would, and forth.
I would love to do a podcast on just money.
Yeah.
Well, because I think money was created for control. Because yeah, before money undeniable. Existed, it was barter. It was whatever yeah. you had, man. Everybody just traded. Hey, what do you got? I got shoes. You got apples? Sweet. I need some apples and you need some shoes.
Yeah.
You know, I make socks too. You got some overalls? Sweet. I'll trade you these socks for some overalls.
But then some dummies will come out there and say that what you're talking about right there is communism. You know what I mean? Which it's not because...
Well, it depends on your definition of communism.
Sure.
Right? Like if you go by, you know, the governmental aspect of communism, then no, it's not communism. But if you just go by the root term of communism, which is communal,
yeah,
you know, which is community, is the root term of communism. You know, it's like the old adage that communism works on paper, but not in reality. Well, it does work in reality because you get rid of government and we're a communist country. We trade, everything's a voluntary transaction, you know, and it's communities supplying for each other. Like I'm all in for that shit. Like, that's fine. But as far as communism in practice, when there is a government involved, it's never going to work. It's never going to work. It's just,
yeah,
you're handing over all power to a centralized government and you think they're going to divvy that power up or the goods up equally and there's going to be any equality or equity. There's not. There's never going to be equality or equity when there's a government.
Of course.
Plain and simple.
Yeah, I think that everyone could agree on that. But yeah, man, we'll have to come back and talk about some monetary things because yeah it's a fun topic that you could talk hours about.
And I appreciate you saying in the beginning, like I try to be well-rounded.
Yeah.
You know, I've had people that are like, "Oh, you just think you're right all the time." And I'm like, "You know how I do that? I don't talk about shit I don't know about."
Yeah.
Like if I'm not educated on a subject, I'm just going to be like, I really don't know. Like,
or if you're not doing that, you're asking questions, you know what I mean?
Or like there was a guy that I got into a debate with years and years ago, and he asked me about Citizens United, right? And I was like, we were having a political debate and he was a Bernie bro, and I was just owning him on every aspect because he was trying to go to economics, and of course Bernie bros don't know shit about economics.
Yeah.
And I was just owning him on everything, and he was like, "Well, what do you think about Citizens United?" And I was like, "Honestly, man, I don't know." I said, "Let me do some research though, and I'll come back to you in a few days and we can have a conversation about it." And I looked into it, and Ron Paul had some speeches about it, and I went back to him. I said, "Man, I've only done a little few hours of research, but it looks like Citizens United is just a free speech conversation. Like it's just about free speech and where you can put your money and who you can put it behind." And I sent him a clip with Ron Paul and he never responded and blocked me on Facebook.
It's interesting when people are so married to their ideas that they can't switch up. You know what I mean?
I don't understand it.
you can read this book, The Road to Serfdom, and it will tell you that just socialism itself doesn't even work. You know, people will cite Scandinavian countries, and they'll tell you like, oh, well, they're socialists. No, they're really capitalists, but they have a social safety net. They're kind of like we do, but to a greater extent.
Right. They're a capitalist country with a social network. That's
yeah, capitalist countries. Yeah.
Yeah. And they admit that. They've said that when Bernie was running around going, oh, freaking this country's socialist. The leaders of those countries all came out and were like, hey, stop calling us socialists. We're not socialists. Yeah. We have social programs, but we're capitalist countries.
Yeah. Yeah, dude, it's fascinating. It's interesting. But yeah, dude, let's get into some of this this Vatican stuff, man. We can obviously talk about just freaking economics, which we'll have to.
Dude, I got to where I am through economics.
Did you? Like,
yeah. That's what got me interested in politics was economics. You know, I'm old enough that I remember when Ross Perot ran for president, and it would have been my first time to vote. That would have been my first vote, would have been for Ross Perot. And I was listening to this dude when I was in high school, and I was like, this guy's making a lot of sense. Like this dude knows what the fuck's up. And you look into him, and he's a billionaire that's made a bunch of freaking money making good business decisions. And I was like, yes. I mean, that's what got me into politics was economics. So anytime you want to talk about economics, man, I'm in. I carry a copy of Basic Economics in my truck at all times, so I can give it to somebody.
Yeah. Hell yeah. It's one of the most interesting and underrated topics when it comes to conspiracy. So but yeah, dude, let's get into some of the stuff that we actually met up to talk about, man. Dude, the archives, right? So like there's so many different things. I mean, you get the ideas thrown around that in the archives there is proof that Jesus Christ never existed. There's receipts for or invoice type situations of trying to get paid for the Sistine Chapel and all these things. There's all kinds of theories, proof of aliens, all kinds of shit. What is something that really draws you to the archives?
I think it's very much like Indiana Jones. I think they have a big subterranean warehouse that's just expansive, and everything's in marked crates, and it's as far as the eye can see, and they've been hiding stuff for possibly eons.
Yeah.
You know, I believe that history is much longer than we are told. So, you know, there's possibly hundreds or thousands or tens of thousands of years worth of hidden data. And I think they can't destroy it for a reason. Like, they have to keep it. And so they keep it. They can't destroy it, but they keep it hidden. So I think maybe the Vatican has the Ark of the Covenant. Maybe they have, you know, all the real evidence that maybe Jesus wasn't real, but maybe he was real, but it's not at all what we've been told. Not at all what we've been told. I mean,
yeah, dude, there's something to be said about that. You know, when you're friends with Ghost, right? From My Third Eye, you met him?
Yeah.
So he even said himself, firsthand account, you know, over in Afghanistan, I forget if he was in Afghanistan or Iraq, but they were told right away, go to the museums and hold down the museums. Yep. Why the museums? This isn't weapons of war that they're holding.
And libraries. Don't forget about libraries. It was museums and libraries.
Historical facts, quote unquote. Yep. I just had some breaking news here I got to share with you really quick. Supposedly the doomsday clock is at 100 seconds to midnight. World's stuck in an extremely dangerous moment. Have you heard of this?
No, but we've
been... doomsday clock?
We've been stuck in a dangerous moment for quite some time now. I mean, I've heard something of the doomsday clock, but I haven't really looked into it. But
it's similar to that Cold War era shit. I mean, if you've ever seen the movie Watchmen, they're messing with the doomsday clock. It's just a weird deal. I'm gonna look into it more after we're done here. But as far as the shit that could be in the Vatican, there's one thing that really sticks out to me. There's the idea that they have the most extensive collection of porn. Have you heard this theory?
Child porn, probably. Yeah.
All kinds of porn.
I believe they may have the very most extensive group of child porn, because that's could be where all the tapes that were done on Epstein Island are hidden.
Sure.
Is in the vault of the Vatican, because nobody can get in it. Again, this is a walled city. This is one of the most protected places in the world.
Yeah.
Like, you can't just get into the Vatican.
Like, of course. Yeah. Like, it's
this is more than Fort Knox, more than most military bases. You can't get in. Like, well, it's easier to get into the Queen's Palace than it is the Vatican.
Well, and there's something to be said too about the Swiss Guard. You know, Switzerland plays a role in everything that they're doing there, and they both have square flags, for the record.
And that happens to be where Davos is, and it's where Bill Gates is going to block out the sun. So fuck Switzerland in their ass.
Interesting. Like, yeah. Isn't CERN right there too?
Their clocks and chocolate are really good, but other than that, screw them. Yeah, CERN is over there too. Yeah, and CERN. Dude, CERN's, we could do a whole nother podcast on CERN too.
Yeah, they're fucking around. They come up a lot lately. There's, you know,
CERN
too.
Is about to restart. Apparently they CERN stopped activity 3 years ago, you know, kind of when shit got crazy, and they're about to start it up again.
Nice. Like, it's not crazy enough. That's right. Perfect. Well, dude, so check this out too. There's this lady, Karen Hughes. She's a former attorney of the World Bank. And she claims that there's a race of big-headed, blue-eyed creatures living underneath the Vatican. So this isn't some kook.
Could be too. Yeah, that it could be the giants. So the Nephilim. Like the ancient, yeah. So the ancient red-haired, blue-eyed giants, the Nephilim, could very well. I think they are subterranean dwelling creatures, because there's apparently a cave at the border of Afghanistan and China that this tribe gives offerings to a red-headed giant that comes out of this cave. And then there's been military operations where they go down into caves and they come in contact with giants. So giants apparently used to roam the earth, but I think they have receded within the earth, and they may be controlling everything from there still. You know, because I think the giants were the ones that controlled everything. I mean, if a giant rolls into your city, who's going to fuck them up? Like, they're going to be able to own shit pretty quickly, you know, and everybody's going to be like, oh, we can't mess with the giant, you know, and who knows how big these things actually are. I mean, there's evidence of anything from 9 feet to like 30 feet or bigger. You know, some stories say that they were as tall as sequoia trees. So we're talking hundreds of feet, you know, some big giant 200-foot person comes rolling into your city. Nobody, like, they're gonna do whatever they want.
Well, dude, think of it, if we're talking, you know, for my Lord of the Rings fans out there, these are like the Ents, right?
Yep.
these giant exactly. tree people.
Yeah. I think dude, that entire book series is incredibly telling.
Yeah,
like, I think the war between all of the sects is a real thing. Like, I think that shit's real. Like, I think that shit really happened. And I think maybe the ring is an allegory for the crown.
Because
a crown is also
interesting.
A circle.
Yeah.
And the crown controls everything. So the one that has the ring or has the crown controls everything.
Interesting. I didn't even think about that.
Yep. I think that book is that those books are very, very telling as to what's happened in the past. You know, C.S. Lewis and all of these people were all part of these secret societies. They were all controlled. Orwell, C.S. Lewis, sure. Like, they were all connected, all of them. And so they did what they were told. You know, there's a reason my show's called Hidden in Plain Sight, because they fucking tell us everything. They put it right in front of us. Like, it's right there.
I'm going to ask you real quick why you think they do that before I get into the piece of the archives that really interests me personally. But why do you think that they blatantly tell us this shit? Do you think that it's the karmatic shit, or do you think there's something deeper to it?
I think it could be, but I think it's also arrogance. Like, it's just they're laughing and mocking. I mean, look at the world right now.
Yeah.
The narrative is so fucking silly. Like, it's astronomically silly. Like, there's this idea that you could die from some supposed virus that they admit they've never isolated, right? So they admit that they've never isolated this virus. They admit that masks don't work. They admit that the PCR test is bullshit. And yet everybody's still going for it. Dude, they're naming shit in just the most ridiculous stuff. I mean, the moo variant. Not only is that the sound that cows make when they're being herded, like moo translates in multiple languages to nothing. Like, it means nothing. It means non-existent, does not exist. And then Omicron, they picked that because it can be freaking rearranged to moronic. Like, they're just mocking these people. Like, so I think it's almost more likely that it's that it's arrogance than it is any karma thing. Okay. But I don't think, and people are like, that's not how karma works. They're not playing by the same rules.
Yeah, they're making their own rules.
Not only that, if the people that control everything are actually deities, are actually above us, they have a completely different set of rules that apply to them.
Yeah.
So it could be that they need to put it out, that they have to, right? It's the same reason that they can't just destroy all of history and rewrite it. They have to leave little breadcrumbs for people to find. And it's so you have an avenue to truth, to enlightenment, but it's all about your choices.
Huh.
So it very well could be a combination of things. So they're doing it because it's a karmatic debt thing, but they're doing it blatantly because they know everybody is that stupid. And so it's an ego trip to just be like, okay, we have to put it out there. And for a long time, maybe we hit it a little bit better, but everybody's basically retarded now. And so we can do it in such a way that it's just astronomically silly.
And it may, in their own minds, justify the killing of so many people. Of course. You know?
Of course. I have argued the fact on multiple occasions that maybe these people are on our side. Maybe they're just trying to find this, because everybody that's really, really stupid wears a fucking sign now. Like, yeah, they wear it literally on their face that they're, yeah, dumb as shit. And so it's really easy to identify the ignorant, compliant people. And maybe it's so they can eliminate those people, or if you think about the phrase, the meek shall inherit the earth, maybe it's so they can eliminate everyone that isn't complying. And then the meek that are wearing masks and easily molded get to inherit the earth when they kill everybody else and reset history again.
Yeah. I mean, it can go either way. It could absolutely go either way. It
very well could.
Good point. Yeah, dude. So, I mean, that's crazy. I don't know how to transition into this from from that idea, but have you heard of the three secrets of the Fatima? How are you pronouncing
it? That sounds really familiar.
Yeah, I'm probably pronouncing the Fatima or Fatima wrong.
I think it's Fatima.
Fatima. Okay. So,
tomato, tomato, though, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we know what we're talking about here. So, it's an interesting little concept, and supposedly out of the three secrets, the third one is held in the Vatican Bank, okay? So there's these three kids in Portugal, and this was during World War I, 1917, this is going on. And these three children had these Marian prophecies. So they saw the Virgin Mary, and the Virgin Mary told them these three things. So the first secret was not so much a secret, actually. It was literally these three children were momentarily taken to hell just for a brief second, not even a second. And they kind of described hell to the priests. And they were just telling them how, you know, even though they were barely there, they knew they were only there for a short amount of time. It was unbearable. Like, it forever changed their lives and so on, right? The second secret was that the Virgin Mary brought the end of World War I, and a World War II would start unless Russia was converted. And then the Virgin Mary supposedly asked that Russia be consecrated to her Immaculate Heart. So they wanted Russia to go into the direction of Christianity or Catholicism or whatever, right? Now, the third one, this is the one that's really interesting. This is supposedly the true secret is actually in the Vatican archives that no one can really keep an eye on or check out. So this is what's kind of cool here. Let me see. I'm reading here. So let me see. So the Lucia. So this is in 1917, like I said. She was really hesitant. One of these young girls was hesitant to kind of disclose what this third secret was. And after a lot of convincing, she said that she would tell the priest what it was, but they couldn't reveal the secret to the world for 40 years. So, you know, time goes by and they found out what it was in the 60s. They actually disclosed what it was to the in the religious circles back in the 60s. But this wasn't made public until 2000. And so I'll read here word for word what she says. So. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's relatively short, and excuse my horrible reading here, but I write in obedience to you, my God, who command me to do so through His Excellency, the Bishop of Lyra, I think, and through your most holy mother and mine. After two parts, which I have already explained, at the left, Our Lady, and a little above, we saw an angel with a flaming sword in his left hand, flashing, and it gave out flames that looked as though they would set the world on fire, but they died out in contact with the splendor that Our Lady radiated towards him from her right hand. So you can kind of picture this image of an archangel, right? Or Lucifer, this dude with a lit up sword coming down to try and fuck with Mary. Mary touches up with her right hand, puts the sword out and just banishes this demon or whatever this is. Pointing out
that
to
could
Earth,
be a side note. That could be right hand to God. You know the phrase, right hand to God?
That's a great point, dude. I didn't even think of that. Good point. So, pointing to the earth with his right hand, the angel cried out in a loud voice, penance, penance, penance. So basically just repenting. And we saw in an immense light that is God, something similar to how people appear in a mirror when they pass in front of it. A bishop dressed in white. We had the impression that it was the Holy Father. Other bishops, priests, and men and women, religious, going up a steep mountain, at the top of which there was a big cross of rough-hewn trunks of a cork tree with the bark before, after, there are, I'm sorry, before, see, this is what happens when I try and read for too long. Before reaching there, the Holy Father passed through a big city, half in ruins and half trembling with halting step. Afflicted with the pain and sorrow, he prayed for the souls of the corpses he met on the way. Having reached the top of the mountain on his knees at the foot of the big cross, he was killed by a group of soldiers who fired bullets and arrows at him. And at the same time, there were... Okay, well, we'll get the idea here. I'm not going to keep fucking reading. But so basically what this is she's talking about the end times.
Yeah.
Literally. And you know, I can post a link here.
It's not necessarily, it may have been the end times then. It doesn't mean it's the end times that are coming. Sure. I think the end times have happened possibly dozens, hundreds of times.
Yeah.
You know, I think we're on this cyclical thing where history has been destroyed and rewritten multiple times, and so people have written about it, and you know, so, and they explain it in a way that they knew how to explain it at that time, possibly.
Well, and what's interesting here is you know, at the end of what she says, this date was supposed to come to fruition March 1st, 1944. So this whole event was supposed to, I mean, this is long gone, right? Now, I don't know if anything
could have happened during World War II.
Yeah. I mean, this
that
is
could
the
have
whole
been
thing.
Something that happened then.
Well, and that's what she said, that a second world war would happen and world wars would continue until essentially what she's saying is that the whole world goes towards this God that right. supports the idea of the Virgin Mary and all this shit, whether it's Catholicism, Christianity, you know, obviously they all fall under that umbrella. Yeah. But it's an interesting idea, man. So that was just the most compelling thing to me out of all the things that are quote unquote verifiably in the Vatican archives. Now, who knows what the hell's down there, but
right.
It is one of the things that I think is the most interesting. And you look at these kids, man, they have the look in their eyes of just like fucking torture. It's weird.
Well, dude, it's been like how many priests that got like legitimately caught meth diddling kids, and the Vatican has paid out like, I forget the exact number, but it's an insane. Excuse me. Whiskey's making me burp.
Uh-oh.
It's an insane amount of money that the Vatican has paid out to cover the sexual assaults on children that their priests have done.
Yeah.
Like, it's a ridiculous amount of money. We're talking hundreds of millions of dollars they've paid to cover all of this shit up. And then those priests are still allowed to do stuff, which means that it's acceptable that what they're doing, but they just, it's just like, dude, stop getting caught. Like, geez, dude, yeah. Like, stop getting caught. We don't care that you're diddling kids. Just stop getting caught.
Yeah, dude, it's fucked.
I mean, I think the Vatican could be hiding all sorts of stuff. I mean, there could be some crazy pedophile ring happening in the lower bowels of the Vatican.
Well, there's the bathhouse right across the street from the
Yes, dude.
So, yeah.
I mean, it's clearly something. I don't know what it is about positions of power, but for some reason, pedophilia is tied with all of these giant positions of power.
Yeah.
Like, well, what is that? Like,
I forget why? Who said it, man. Somebody said, everything's about sex except for sex, and sex is about power. So, right. Yeah. You know, there's something about that where, you know, like you're trying, not everyone, but as a whole, a lot of people are trying to gain social status realistically for sex. Now, maybe women are doing it for men. Other things, but
yeah, men for sure.
Men absolutely are. Women are probably doing it for other reasons. I don't have a brain like a woman does, but there is something to be said about that quote itself.
Right. Well, women could rule the world. They could change history. I was on you mentioned Ghost, and I was on Talk at the Tavern this past Friday, I think. And I said on there, I said, you know, women could control the world. Everything that men do is for women. Like, everything. Yeah. We gain status and money and popularity, all to impress chicks. And so chicks determine what kind of people are created, what kind of government we have, what kind of society we have. They control everything. Women have all of the power, all of it. All women would have to do to control everything that's happening is collectively just be like, all right, we're not having sex with dudes anymore until y'all do what we tell you to do. And everything would change that fast, just instantly.
Yeah.
Everybody would change.
See, you know, it's harsh to say, but I think that men would just rape, dude.
You know, maybe, what I mean? But if it's collective, like if it's women in general as a whole, like, sure. I don't think most dudes have the capacity to just rape.
Oh, not overnight. Right? I'm just saying if this was like a generational thing, maybe. And like, I think that would be the case, dude, because
maybe. There would be maybe that's how harems got created.
Yeah.
Is basically the enslavement of women because they were trying to regain power by holding out, possibly. But, you know, women could very easily, and they make up a majority of the population.
Well, let's be real here. Women hate each other too much to get any kind of power. Do. You know what I mean? They'll just fight.
They do. That is very, very true. Because I mean, my wife will. Well, maybe not my wife because she's rad. but like, I would tell, you know, girls in the past, like they'd be putting on makeup and like getting ready to go somewhere and everything. I'm like, you know, you're doing that for other women and not for dudes, right?
Oh yeah.
And they're like, what do you mean? I'm like, guys don't care. We really don't. We don't like any chick can go to the bar and get laid. any chick. It doesn't matter what you look like. If you want to get laid, you can get laid. Dudes can't do that.
Yeah.
Like, you know, so when you're primping and you're getting all dressed up and everything, that's so you can look good to all the other chicks, because guys generally don't care.
Yeah.
Like my wife, that's a good point. My wife is, of course, a house mother to four kids. And there's days where she wears pajamas all day, and I'm into it. Like, if I didn't have to leave the house, I wouldn't put on real clothes either.
Yeah.
Like, and she gets mad, and I'm like, babe, like, I don't care what you wear. Like, I love you, and you look good in pajamas, so I don't give a shit.
There you go.
You know, I mean, like,
that's like, why it works.
It's not your clothes that make me attracted to you, or it's not the level of makeup that make me attracted to you.
It's your ass.
It's, and she'll tell you that too.
Really? I was just saying that, but no, that's so funny.
It is quite spectacular.
Well, good for you and good for her. That's great. But, I've never seen your wife, but I'm sure that she's a phenomenal woman.
She is the best. Like, plain and simple. Like, we've discussed having drinking games on all the podcasts I go to on, or even mine, because I mentioned her all the time. So every time I mention my wife, drink. And if you follow that rule through all the podcasts I've been on, you're going to probably get drunk every single podcast.
That's funny, man. Well, good for you guys. That's awesome. I don't know, dude.
It just proves there's a lid for every pot, dude, because I'm absolutely insane and I look like this. And I'm just like, I'm still mesmerized that she loves me. I'm just
like, it's okay. That red beard, dude. It's the red beard.
It's, well, it's just, I think men are attractive to women, like real men.
Yeah, yeah,
like,
yeah.
Like, when you are a true man, it doesn't matter what you look like. It really doesn't. Like, you just put off this aura. And women, contrary to what all the leftists want you to think, women are attracted to masculinity.
Yes. There's some, it's like a battery, positive and negative energy, right? Yep. I'm not saying that women or men are negative or vice versa, but it's just opposites.
It just is. Yeah.
Well, it's opposites. Yeah. Opposites attract, you know what I mean?
Well, and we're meant to. Like, yeah. we're meant to work congruently. We're not meant to be the same like the left. And that's, again, that's more perversion of society. Is just the idea that men and women are the same. Like, it's so stupid. We're not, and we're not meant to be.
Like, you know what's really interesting, though, that, and you just sparked this idea in my head, is that there's something about women that also can do manly things, whether it's shooting guns or just fending for themselves.
Right.
Those masculine traits that are also very attractive to masculine men, right? With the feminine shit, no one fucking likes that. You know what I mean? Well, like, if a dude is feminine, I don't think anyone really likes that.
Well, and nobody, like, weak, frail women are not attractive, because you're, as a man, when you're away, you know, because we're providers and women are nurturers, right?
Yeah.
And so it's natural for men all through history, men go away from the family to provide for the family. Well, now, whether it's hunters, gatherers, or nomads, or, you know,
industrial workers,
capitalistic societies where you're just going to work. A man's not going to leave his children with a weak woman. Like, a real man isn't going to leave his family in the hands of a weak woman. So of course it's attractive when a woman can protect themselves or knows how to defend themselves, because it's like, okay, I can have kids with this chick and I don't have to worry about my kids getting messed up or, you know, assaulted or whatever. Like, I know my wife's going to handle it. So I think that's what it is. It's a security thing.
Yeah, dude. Very interesting. I don't know.
Random
man.
Tangents on random tangents on Dangerous World podcast tonight.
I know it's interesting, man. You know, like, we wanted to talk about one thing and it just goes all over the place. I mean, these are the kind of episodes that I think are more fun, though, man. You know, so right.
when they're too strict on stuff. I mean, and I've even done the ones that are really strict on topics.
Yeah,
they're cool, but they're just not as interesting.
Yeah,
you know. And this, it's stuff like this is why, like, our listeners, like, I've been listening to podcasts for a long time, and you get, when you listen to a podcast, you get to know the people that are doing it. If you listen to them enough.
Yeah.
And that's what it's all about, right? It's like, it's getting to know these people and who's out there and what they think. And we can't be afraid to talk about this shit. Like, we've got to be able to, like, I'm not afraid to talk about anything. Like, yeah. I am a truly open book. I'm not married to anything except what I can prove. And even the stuff that I can prove, I still question it.
You have to.
You know, like I'm a flat earther. Like, I hate labels, but I am. And it's because I can prove it, but I still try to disprove it every single day.
Interesting.
Like, I still, because I have tons of questions still. Like, there's stuff that I don't have answers to. So I look, I observe, and I theorize, and I challenge the things that I know. And, you know, and that's just how I work. You know, I just, I don't have any. I was talking to somebody the other day, and they were talking about faith. And I was like, dude, I know too much to have faith. Like, I just know too much. Like, I can't just have blind faith in things. Like, I can prove things. And then there's things that I can't prove, but I know a lot of information about. So I have some theories. And that's it. That's it. I know some things and I have a bunch of ideas.
I like to say I know a little about a lot. Personally, yeah, that's what I think. So,
well, it's like the old saying, jack of all trades,
master of none,
right? But that phrase goes on and it says something like, but I'd rather be a jack of all trades, than only a master of one, or something like that, you know. It's something about being able to perform multiple tasks instead of just being good at this one thing.
Interesting. Yeah, you know, man. I agree.
They cut that phrase short for a reason, you know, because it's supposed to be detrimental. It's like, oh, master of, you know, jack of all trades, but a master of none. But if the whole quote is actually gives more credit to the jack of all trades.
It's more interesting, man. It's just way more interesting. Let's finish off like this. Since you, I heard that you had a great flat Earth conversation with a few others, and you know, you just said straight up, you're a flat earther here. Before we wrap up, why don't you give some sort of hard proof, something that you cannot be disproven about?
Oh, that's easy.
When it comes to flat Earth, what is it?
That's super easy, and I'm gonna make a shirt that says it. Everything is parallel.
Everything is parallel, meaning what?
It look around. Just look around. When you're driving around, when you're in your daily life, just look around. Everything's parallel. You can look off into the distance. You can be on an elevated plane and look off into the distance. If you're like on a flyover, you know, like if you're, you know, on an overpass or something and you're elevated just a little bit. And you look around. All the buildings, all the water towers, all the cell phone towers, all the radio towers, everything you see is parallel. It doesn't matter how far apart it is. It's all parallel. Everything shares the same exact straight up and down and level. It's the only reason you can find level. Just the fact that you can find level proves that we live on a flat plane. Because on a ball, there is no fucking level. There's no such thing as level. On a ball. Like, okay. There's no sea level on a ball. Like, it's spinning. So everything's going to be fucking acting all weird. And by the narrative of the ball, there's a 14-mile hump of water at the equator because of spin. That's fucking NASA data, right? Horseshit. 14-mile hump of water? Come on. Hey, everything's parallel.
Dude, I don't know what the fuck we're on. I haven't put enough effort into thinking what it is. I don't like the idea of the ball. I really don't. But at the same time, it there is some indoctrination there. 100%. Right.
Well, I think we could be in a fucking computer program, and a level plane is just easier to deal with in a computer program.
Sure. Well, yeah, like, yeah.
It could just be simple. It could just simply be simulation, and it's just easier to put everything on a flat plane, you know, because it works better in the computer simulation. Huh. Who knows? But I can prove this realm that we're on is flat as fuck because everything shares the same level.
I like it. Right. I do like that.
Like, that's the one thing. When I had Deborah from Deborah Gets Red Pilled on recently on my second Flatter School podcast, that's the one thing that I tell everybody. Everything's parallel. It's all parallel. That can't happen on a ball. Like, you're not going to see two water towers 10 miles apart in the distance on the horizon, and they're parallel on a fucking ball, because at 10 miles, they're 67 feet of curve. And they'd be like this.
Yeah.
You know, they'd be facing away from each other by a great degree. And even something as simple as a building that in New York City that spans one city block, which is like a quarter mile, it would get bigger at the top because all of those pillars would be, you know, because you've, anybody that's in construction knows that you set beams at level. Well, if no two points share the same level, then they're going to go away from each other as they get taller. And so the twin towers that got flown into by airplanes, quote unquote.
Yeah.
If you believe that, the twin towers would have gotten bigger at the top, or it would be in the designs that they had to tilt all of those freaking pillars a certain degree so everything went up at the same angle. And that doesn't exist in the plans on any building. So it's just like, once you start digging into it, like I may end up being kind of the flat earth guy, like Flat Earth Dave, because I'm just that passionate about it.
Have you talked with him before?
Twice.
He's a good guy. He's fun.
He's solid, dude. That dude's good. That dude's good. He's the one that brought me to Flat Earth.
Yeah.
Like, it was presented to me before I knew about Flat Earth Dave. And I was just like, I had too many questions that couldn't be answered by the person that presented it to me. And I was just like, whatever. And then I heard Flat Earth Dave. And when he first started his presentation on this podcast, I was like, this fucking guy, like, this is ridiculous. And then as he went, I was like, wait a minute. Like, is he making shit up? Like, what's he? Wait a minute. What?
And well, so he'll bring in the Coriolis effect. He'll talk about all this shit. You know what I mean?
So I started looking into it. After I heard my first podcast with Flat Earth Dave, I was like, all right, I've got to really dive into this because this is interesting. Like, it just intrigued me. Like, I was just like, okay, let me, because I definitely don't trust the government. NASA is the government. So let me check shit out. And I started looking into it. And once you look into it, dude, it just, the official narrative falls apart like super fast. It's like a house of cards. Yeah. And you just pull one card out and the whole thing falls down. And it's just like, fuck. Like, we don't live on a ball. Shit. Okay. And it leaves you in this weird place. If you're not ready for it, it's a very uncomfortable place, right? It leaves you in this place of, well, what the fuck? Like, what do I do now that I this one thing that was a constant in my life is now changed, you know? And again, my wife, she said,
little Borat.
Yeah. She says, one lie exposed is enough to question every truth.
Sure.
So once you start looking into it, it just all falls apart. If you guys want to go listen to more Flat Earth stuff, I've started a series called Flat Earth School on my podcast. And my first episode was with the great William Ramsey. And that one is a doozy. That one was very heated. William is like a little kid. He doesn't want his ball taken away. I've had people that listen to William Ramsey's podcast message me on Instagram and go, dude, I heard you on William Ramsey's show. Your shit makes a lot of sense. And holy shit.
Good. That's great, like, dude. Well, what's the name of that podcast? What's the name of that podcast of yours again? Let's wrap this up here, man.
All right. I am Moral Bob. My podcast is Hidden in Plain Sight. You can find me on all your podcatchers, Apple, Podbeam, freaking Spotify, you name it. And if you can't find my podcast somewhere, let me know. You can email me at thehiddenpod@gmail.com. I'd be glad to hear anybody's feedback. Nobody ever emails me, so you could be the first one. I do have a Patreon. I don't really do shit on it. If you want to send me money, you can send me money on Patreon. You can send me money on Venmo at Moral Bob. I've got a lot of legal fees that need to get paid for that I can afford at this point in time. But, you know, anything helps, you know. But, yeah, a shameless plug. You know, send me your money. I also
legal fees. What's up with that?
I'm in the middle of a custody battle, and the family court system is such a fucking sham. And they stole my 5-year-old son, gave him to his mom. And it's really sad. She's a single mom alcoholic that's dating a 23-year-old little punk dude. And it's a fucked up situation. It sucks, but it is what it is. And I luckily finally got a hold of an attorney that's willing to do what I want.
Because I'm sorry to hear that, man. I'm glad that you have it. Hopefully it'll work out.
It will, man. Things work out how they should, right? Like it makes me sad, but at the same time, like, I'm not gonna waste a bunch of positive energy, you know, dwelling on the negative. Like, I try to think positively. Like, I'm gonna get through this. My son's gonna go through some shit and be like, luckily his mom spoils the shit out of him, but it's not good for him to be spoiled like that. So you know, like, if she was hurting him, then I would just I would find some proof pretty quickly. She's not physically hurting him in any way, at least not yet. So I've got some time, but I'm just gonna work through it. It's fine. I know that eventually I'll succeed one way or another. I'm never gonna stop fighting for my son, but I go through my moments where I'm sad about it, but I just try to stay positive. Good. That's the best thing to do, right? Like, it's all about energy. Yep. Right? And that's another thing to full circle the Vatican. Another thing I think they're stealing is energy. The Earth's energy, our energy, you know, through their cathedrals and all of that shit. And so as long as you're putting positive energy out there, I think good things will happen. So stay positive, folks. Like, don't dwell on negative shit. That's not good for you. Like, don't be bitter. Don't be mad. Be positive. Stay positive. And just make plans to better your life, better your situation. Attack the people that are evil in your life with positive shit, and man, watch that shit crumble.
It's a great note to end on, dude. Beautiful, beautifully said. Good luck with everything, man. I didn't know that about you, man. And I hope that it does work out. It seems like it will, though. I think that you have a good way about you, and you got a great attitude. So I hope that it absolutely, and we'll be talking again, obviously.
Yes,
I
mean, we will, for sure.
Have a great chemistry, I feel like, man. No homo, but I really do appreciate everything.
Yeah, you did. Dude, I tell people all the time, like, in this community that I have found now, this truther community, I found my people, dude. Like, I've never felt so comfortable talking to people. I've never, you know, had so many people that think the same way and are open-minded. So, yeah, man, no, definitely no homo, but I love this community. I love people like you. I love all of these people, man. It's fucking awesome. Like, I'm the most positive I think I've ever been, and it's because of this community.
And that's not just the Woodford Reserve talking, right? That's the real shit right there. So yeah. That's what you're drinking, right? Woodford Reserve?
Woodford Reserve.
Okay, yes, I thought that I maybe fucked that up. Okay, great, dude. Well, thank you so much. His name's Moral Bob. Got the Hidden in Plain Sight podcast, man. You guys know me, Ryan from Dangerous World. And man, we're going to be talking again. It sounds like we're going to talk about some monetary policy, some economics, all that stuff, because I think you and I could definitely go back and forth on that quite a bit. And Bob, thanks for everything, man. This was a fun little free-flowing chat. It was great, dude. So we'll be talking soon. And everybody have a great night, great day, great morning, great whatever, guys. Take care. Well, everybody, like I said, head over to patreon.com/dangerousworldpodcast. I'm talking about a really interesting portion of the book known as Rule by Secrecy by Jim Mars, phenomenal author. I'm talking about Freemasonry and Big Religion, how they clash, how they go at it back and forth. They're duking it out, heavyweights for the championship, holding the strap, holding the belt. I think we know who wins here, but head over to Patreon.